Welcome to The Common Good. I'm your host, Joe Clemens. We're happy to welcome Suzanne Washington to the program today. Suzanne is the CEO of Meals on Wheels People, and today Suzanne is going to tell us about that wonderful organization, and she's going to tell us about a new diner we have in Vancouver that you'll surely want to visit. Later in the program, we're going to talk some more about tax prep, because it's that time of year again. We'll be joined by Charles Humble, who's here to talk about AARP Foundation's tax aid. This is The Common Good. Meals on Wheels People was founded in 1969 by three caring women who saw a need in the community that was not being met. They gathered in the basement of a church in February of 1970 to serve a hot lunch to about a dozen seniors, and then they delivered 14 Meals on Wheels on paper plates wrapped in newspaper. The vision of the organization today is pretty much the same. No senior will go hungry or experience social isolation. And today I'm pleased to welcome the leader of Meals on Wheels People, Suzanne Washington. Welcome, Suzanne.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yes. So, Suzanne, you're the CEO of a pretty amazing organization, and I'm really excited to get into that today to talk about that more. But to get started, let's talk some numbers. How many meals are you serving?
We serve just about 1.2 million meals a year, and to do that, we serve about 5,000 meals each weekday.
That's a lot. That's a lot of meals.
That is a lot. It shocks most people. We're serving in various counties, and so to feed the seniors once a day, most folks get served once a day, and that is across three counties, and it amounts to about 15,000 or so seniors across those three counties.
I can only imagine the amount of logistics and organization that takes to make that work.
Yes, I often laugh because it's a funny combination of manufacturing and social service. So in order to be efficient and be able to produce all those meals in a day, we have to be pretty organized and make sure our quality of food is really high and still be able to package all of them in a day and get them delivered.
So you mentioned the counties that you serve. We're going to come back and talk about that in a minute. But where are these meals going? Like, what are they going to people's homes? Are they going to dining halls? Where are the meals going?
Yeah, so the meals are for folks that are 60 years or older and that they are enrolled in our program and need a meal for any reason, because they can't cook it, they can't get out to shop for it, they need assistance, they're recovering from a surgery, whatever it may be. And about 60% of those folks are homebound. So for whatever reason, they cannot leave their home, they can't get to one of our dining centers. So we have about 22 different dining centers across the three counties, most of those being Multnomah County, Washington County, and Clark County with some satellites. And about 40% of the meals we do every day are going to those congregate settings, while the other 60% are going to the homebound.
So what's the demographic? Who are the folks that are getting these meals?
So again, folks that are 60 years and older, there is no income guideline. There's the only eligibility really is they need assistance and they're older than 60 and they live in one of the three counties. So Washington County, Clark County, and Multnomah County. And a lot of people think it's the meals are only for poor people. That is not true. It is really anybody that they need help. They need assistance, not only for the meal and the nutritional value of the meal, but also for somebody to talk to reduce social isolation.
Yeah, that's a good segue. I want to talk about that now. So in addition to ensuring seniors don't go hungry, your vision on your website states that no senior will experience social isolation. So let's talk a little bit about that part of your vision. How important is socialization, and you know, what's the impact that that can have on seniors?
So every day we get more and more information about the detrimental effects of being isolated in your own home, especially for older people. And it's true for everybody, but especially for older people, because it compounds various physical and emotional mental health issues. So it's been equated to smoking 15 cigarettes a day as far as the effect on one's health. So for us, social isolation is as important, if not more, than the meal. Obviously, you need both. You need food and you need somebody to talk to. So part of our mission and our, like you say, our vision is to make sure that people, older folks, have choice, many, in fact, I think it's about 80% want to live in their own homes and age in place. Mm-hmm. To do that, we want to make sure they're safe, and not only safe and have that independent choice, but to be healthy and thrive there. Mm-hmm. So the meal is a big part of that, but the reduction of isolation is also a big part.
I think that was probably one of the most surprising aspects about your organization that I was that I found when I was researching this topic with you, is this focus on socialization with seniors and the equal importance that that has with not only meals, which we associate Meals on Wheels as, hey, somebody's bringing me a meal to eat, but also that really important component to make sure folks are socializing, because I could definitely see where that could be a huge problem.
For a lot of people, our driver, whoever delivers that meal for the day, is the only person they're going to talk to in the course of a day or in the course of a week. That may be the only people they see. So it's really very, very important. And whether it's 5 minutes or a half an hour that we spend with folks, it makes a big difference. They hear what's going on in the world. Mm-hmm. They know somebody cares about them. And I think for those who are isolated, it really affects mental health, depression, just the quality of life. Mm-hmm. So the folks who are isolated with chronic disease, it affects their chronic disease, mm-hmm. decreasing or increasing the effects of that chronic disease. But when we have somebody there who can talk to them and they're connected, some human connection, the effects of chronic disease may be easier to manage. Mm-hmm. With anxiety and depression that increases when you're all alone on your, you know, by yourself, our folks at the door make a big difference. And then we're looking at various ways that we can further reduce that isolation. We've tried some technology projects. And in mm-hmm. fact, we're piloting one now to use technology so that older folks that are homebound can get connected to family, friends, even other seniors, that other folks that are homebound. And just that little bit of connection so far looks like that may make a difference as well.
So what's the ultimate goal of Meals on Wheels people?
Our ultimate goal really is that no senior will go hungry or experience that social isolation to the effects that, to the point that it is detrimental to their health, mm-hmm. that when they're making choices to stay in their own home, we want them to be able to be thriving in their home, not alone mm-hmm. with health issues that make them say, well, why am I here? Maybe there is a better option for them. But given so many people do want to age in place, mm-hmm. we think increasing that reduction in isolation and that food together, the combination makes a huge difference. And it's a whole lot cheaper, too, than institutionalizing people. So I think that's the other part of it, is for the cost of what it takes to feed a senior for an entire year is like one overnight stay in the hospital or 10 days in a rehab. So it's really important that not only do we give our older adults options and choices about how to live and still be safe and thriving, mm-hmm. as well, it's a lot more efficient and effective.
And it sounds like there's a big focus on prevention in that manner.
Yeah, prevention in where you're getting choice about where to eat, who to eat with, you know,
sure.
how that affects your health, and then how much it costs in the future. The cost of an assisted living center is like $90,000 a mm-hmm. year versus $2,500 to $3,000 of meals being delivered to your home.
Yeah,
so it's a really big difference.
Absolutely. There's a great video on your website. We're going to talk about your website in a little bit, but there's a great video on there that illustrates the real impact, the real positive impact of not only receiving a meal, but also that interaction, that social interaction that happens when the person comes to visit. And I know over time there's probably strong relationships that are built between the volunteers that go and deliver that food. And it has to be a mutual win-win, you know, not only for the person receiving it and really looking forward to that visit, even if it's only 10 or 15 minutes. I can only imagine how much that would brighten their day, but also for the volunteers that are delivering that food and making that impact. It's got to be really special.
I think that is one of the key things that we tend to forget about, is the value that the volunteers get out of mm-hmm. delivering that meal and that mm-hmm. interaction every day. Majority of our volunteers, I think it's over 65% of our volunteers, are between the ages of 65 and 75. Mm. So many are retired, and they're doing this in their free time to do it. And because there is connection, and not only do they feel good about giving back to their community, but they get that human interaction as well. I've got a fellow on my board who's been delivering meals for 25 years. He gets to know the people on his mm-hmm. route. He delivers once a week. He loves doing it. The people at the door know he's coming and look forward to it. And he spends some time there. Not everybody can spend a half an hour of time. Some people can just have a quick hello and mm-hmm. how are you doing, and then they're off to their next meal delivery. But Marcus really does meet with people. He spends time. He gets to know them, and it's part of his day. So for us, mm-hmm. in that 450 volunteers we use every day to get the meal out the door, there is much win-win on both sides, as you can imagine.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the quality of the food. Can you talk a little bit about the ingredients, where it's sourced, and how it's made?
So we make everything fresh daily at our central kitchen over in Multnomah Village. We use local sources as much as possible. Of course, we're producing 5,000 meals a day, so we do use frozen vegetables. They're not always made fresh. Mm-hmm. Our central kitchen creates the meals that are packaged for the home delivery. So I don't know if you've ever seen the what we deliver, but there's an entree meal that's packaged, and then there's a cold pack. It's a salad pack, which has the dessert, the salad, the bread in it. And then those two trays of food go with a little milk, like you would get a school milk. That's what gets delivered to the homebound. That's all made every day in our central kitchen, and then plated and packaged. And that's gets shipped out to all of our dining centers.
And your central kitchen is down in Southwest Portland.
Right, Multnomah Village, Southwest Portland. Mm-hmm. And so those get sent to our dining centers, which acts as the hub for all of our volunteers. So our volunteers meet, whether it's in Vancouver at the Lupke Center or out in Gresham at the Ambleside Center. The volunteers go there, they pick up their food for their routes, and off they go to delivering. Usually it's 10 to 15 people on a route. Some are bigger, some take longer, usually takes about an hour. Some of the longer routes, maybe in outer Clark County, take a while, or outer Washington County, just because of the sheer distance. Mm-hmm. But the meals get delivered out of those dining centers. And then our central kitchen also ships either both the raw food as well as maybe a pre-made sweet and sour chicken to those dining centers. So it goes like in the hotel pans, or like I say, the raw food. And the dining centers cook it themselves, or a combination where they heat something up that was just made fresh in our kitchen, or they're cooking it at the dining centers themselves. And the dining centers are places where we really hope we can get the older folks out of their homes and into the center mm-hmm. to meet with other people mm-hmm. so they get that socialization. And we're going to work with folks that are homebound to make sure they really are. So we're going to work with them how to get to a close-in dining center. But all the food is made, like I say, it's brought into our central kitchen. It's prepared every day, and then it's shipped out or trucked out to every dining center. So it's a combination of, you know, prepackaged or made fresh on mm-hmm. those in those dining centers.
And given that you're doing so many meals, I would imagine that there are some challenges associated with meeting some dietary restrictions. But when we talked about this before, you guys kind of have some ways to handle that too by making everything pretty much that you make work for all types of dietary restrictions.
Right. Because of federal regulations, we have to have all of our meal profiles approved by a dietitian. And so to do that, we have to have low salt, low sugar, low fat, and then a certain amount of protein, a certain amount of starch, whole grains, all of that. So there's quite a lot that goes into every menu, because we have a 7-week cycle menu with a different primary choice and a secondary choice every day through that 7 weeks. And then it rotates to a new 7-week cycle. So every day we have to have the dietitian buy off on what's in that menu, in that recipe. So to do that, all of our meals are considered a heart healthy meal. So it is low sodium, low sugar, low fat. And then it has the proper amount of protein and starch and whole grains and all of that. So we're constantly looking at new recipes and kind of modernizing our menu, as well as figuring out how to do more culturally specific or culturally relative recipes so that we have a really great diversity of our menu. A lot of our older folks still love meat and potatoes, but if you're in the Asian culture, that's not going to be true. It's going to look different.
Right.
So we really are constantly working on how to upgrade our menu, and I say modernize it because nobody used kale 10 years ago. Quinoa is something new in the last 5 years. So not necessarily that all our seniors are going to like it, but a bunch do. And if you're a vegetarian, we now have a full vegetarian menu, or we have 12 to 15 different options, where before it was just every day it was pasta. So I think we're really working on how to meet regulations, get that dietary approval, and still make a really good, healthy, nutritious meal that tastes good and meets the cultural profile or the kind of the new boomer sense of what a good meal is.
Mm-hmm. So what are the qualifications to be approved to get meals delivered? You touched on this a little bit earlier, but I want to make sure we are really clear about this. Is there an income limit that's required for this?
No income limit. So again, all you have to do is 60 years or older and need some assistance for whatever reason. You don't have to prove how much money you make. You don't have to prove you own your home. You know, nothing like that. So we have seniors that may live in a home that's worth some money, but they're living on a fixed Social Security income, and they do not have dollars to buy groceries. At the same time, they may have money, and they can't get to the grocery store. So they're going to, what we ask is that everybody donate towards their meal, whether that's 50 cents or $7. Really, it's up to that person and what they can afford and what they feel good about with their budget. What we don't want to have happen is people trading. They can't pay their heat today because they have to pay their food bill, and they can't buy their medications because they can't pay their rent, and then they can't buy the food. So we really ask people to donate towards their meal, and it does not matter what income they are. As long as they need some assistance, we're happy to provide it.
I think that's a really important distinction because I think, and I was guilty of this before meeting you and talking about this, I just assumed that there was some limitation. So that's great to know. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that voluntary donation component of this a little bit later. But so as a senior, if I'm listening to this and I want to sign up, how do I do that? Is there a phone number I can call? Can somebody call for me?
Sure. Anybody can call or go on our website. So our website is mealsonwheelspeople.org. The phone number I'm going to have to look up because I don't have it in my head right now.
We'll come back at the, after the break and we'll tell everybody the phone number.
Perfect.
That, and that will make people have to listen through the break.
I planned it that way, I guess. But anybody can call, a neighbor can call, social service. We get referrals from everywhere. A family member, a friend, a neighbor. Oftentimes we have gatekeepers out there like the PGE person or the Pacific Power person that may notice somebody on their route that seems like they may need some help. So anybody can refer, the person can call themselves, or like I say, go on the website, and then we'll try to get out a meal within 48 hours, and then we go out and
that's
do
impressive.
An assessment.
That's
so
impressive.
Sometimes it takes a little bit longer, but that's our goal, is to get it out there right away, and then our client service worker will go out and meet with the person and, again, make sure, do they really need a meal delivered in their home, or can we help them figure out how to get to one of our closest dining centers? Because, again, we know that's better if they can get out of their home and visit with other people.
Absolutely. I'm here with Suzanne Washington, Chief Executive Officer of Meals on Wheels People. Suzanne, when we come back from this brief break, I'd like to talk and switch gears and talk about the diner in Vancouver and your upcoming fundraising event that you have, Stride for Seniors. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. And then when we come back, too, we'll give everybody that phone number so if they want to join the program, they can. You're listening to The Common Good.
Many thanks to NuVamsterdam for supporting our radio community. NuVamsterdam is the premier cannabis market in the Vancouver-Portland metro area. They carry a variety of cannabis products, ranging from pre-rolls, vape cartridges, and edibles to CBD cream, oils, and tinctures. NuVamsterdam is located in the Heights Shopping Center on the corner of Mill Plain and Andreessen Boulevard. Open 8 a.m. to 11 p.m., 365 days a year. More information available at NuVamsterdam.com. That's NuVamsterdam.com.
Welcome back to The Common Good. I'm your host, Joe Clemens. Joining me today in the studio is Suzanne Washington. Suzanne is the Chief Executive Officer of Meals on Wheels People. So, Suzanne, let's talk about the diner here in Vancouver. For those that are not aware of the diner, what do they need to know about it?
The diner is a brand new restaurant in Vancouver on East Mill Plain Boulevard. And the intent of the diner is just to provide a neighborhood place to eat. It's really good food. It's a kind of an old-fashioned diner with a modern twist, so it feels really comfortable and warm and inviting, and it has really good food from burgers to breakfast all day. Mm-hmm. So the hope is that our community will go in and create more community by mm-hmm. eating with seniors that may be enrolled in the program. So the hope is it creates this neighborhood atmosphere and supports those seniors by paying customers, helping to offset the cost of those who are donating towards a meal. Mm-hmm. So the bottom line is it's really good food, and we just want to provide a restaurant that creates an earned income stream.
So open for breakfast and lunch.
Open 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. every mm-hmm. day of the week, mm-hmm. breakfast and lunch. Breakfast, like I say, is served all day. And it has great food, really good food, it's, as well as like things like Ruby Jewel milkshakes. So we've got kind of old-fashioned coffee cakes and mm-hmm. milkshakes and just a really good atmosphere to eat them in.
I have to confess, I have not had a chance to go there yet, although I'm a big fan of going out for breakfast, and it's on my short list of places to go. And I was out at the website perusing the menu, and there's a whole bunch of stuff on there that I want to try for sure. Looks like there's some good Eggs Benedict, and I'm always a big fan of that.
Eggs Benedict has been a hit. It's mm-hmm. I'd have to say every single person loves it and thinks it's great. And there are those people that are connoisseurs of the Eggs Benedict, yeah. and they compare it. Same with the Reuben sandwich. They really, it's like, how does that compare to the other Reubens? And yeah. so far, it's a big hit as well.
So I'm curious about the idea. How did the idea of the diner originate? What was the inspiration behind that?
I think it originated by us trying to figure out a way to create sustainability. We have to raise about 70% of the dollars we need to feed the current seniors in our program. So we're looking at a way to deal with all the baby boomers that may need us in the future as they age. Mm-hmm. How can we create an earned income stream? So money that's not donation-based or a government fund. The government funding, which is Older Americans Act, really only pays about 25-30% of what we need. Mm-hmm. So as we were kicking around that idea of how do we create sustainability and at the same time trying to enhance services to our older adults, we thought, what about a restaurant? It would give older folks more choice of when to eat, where to eat, and who to eat with. Mm-hmm. So
and a place to go.
And a place to mm-hmm. go. Mm-hmm. Get them out of their homes, a place mm-hmm. to socialize. And it's not just older people sitting and talking to older people, but really when we talked to people, they wanted more of an intergenerational environment. So that opportunity to have kids and families and the business community and everybody else kind of creating neighborhood together, and we have a counter where people can come in and they can sit by themselves if they want, and that's mm-hmm. not always true in our dining centers. You may have mm-hmm. to sit with 10 other people. Mm-hmm. So it just gives more choice of you could eat breakfast instead of just lunch. Right now, all of our menus and all of our dining centers, it's a lunchtime meal, and that's it. So this gives more choice of where to eat, your options of what to eat. Again, you only get really a primary choice and a secondary choice in the dining centers. So it gives just a lot more, I would say, more choice and enhanced kind of service to our mm-hmm. older population while creating an income source.
And you're expanding your portfolio. You have a lot of different options for people to receive at home or be in a dining hall or go to a traditional type restaurant, which I would imagine seniors and also younger folks would like that too. So it's located on East Mill Plain, right there near MacArthur Boulevard, kind of in that little shopping area there. You know, we mentioned seniors are there and other folks, but what kind of clientele are you seeing coming into the diner?
It's really everybody. It's been really busy, and we're dealing with how to make sure the food gets out in a timely manner and is mm-hmm. hot, because we have been really busy, especially on the weekends, for lunch is the biggest. But it's all ages. It's families with babies and kids and, mm-hmm. you know, older people and the working community in the neighborhood. So it's just been a great mix of people. And I think one of the things that's nice about it is you could bring your neighbor could bring an older person in for lunch where they may not go otherwise. Mm. So it's hard to take, if you're an older person and you're watching your grandkids, it's hard to take them into a dining center, for example.
Yeah.
Or if I have a neighbor on my street and I would love to take them out to lunch, it's really hard to do a dining center mm-hmm. and do it in a way that's a lot more fun and everybody can eat mm-hmm. and have choices. And if there's kids, they may not like the food that is on that primary menu at a dining center, but there's mm-hmm. tons of choice here at the restaurant. Yeah. So hopefully that's what's happening. It seems like it from mm-hmm. seeing folks in. I've been in the diner pretty much every day and all the weekends, and it is really wonderful people coming together. They're supporting the cause, but they're coming back because the food's really good.
Yeah. I read on your website also that the folks that are employed there are paid, and they're paid a living wage. But to be clear, the diner, it's not free for seniors. There's an expectation that there's some form of voluntary donation if they can. At least that's what we communicate. So let's talk a little bit more about that. You know, I read that there's no tipping allowed, but if you do want to tip, that basically is a donation that goes to support Meals on Wheels people.
Right. So it is not free. And the seniors that are able to donate towards, they have a special menu. So part of the menu just for the paying customers is larger than the one for seniors because we do have to meet regulations. And mac and cheese is never going to get passed on by our dietitian for an older person.
Even as much as a senior might want it.
As much as they want it. They can pay for it, but they don't get to donate towards it. And that's kind of the challenge. But so there's not quite as much choice, but it's a full breakfast, lunch menu. And they have to be enrolled in our program. So if you're just 60 years old or older and you walk in and you want to eat, you can't donate towards it until you're enrolled in the program. So if you need it, it's a pretty simple issue to get enrolled, and you can talk to folks there, and we'll start that process. But so they need to be enrolled in the program, and then we'll ask them to donate what they can. For everybody else that's ordering off the menu, they're going to get their ticket like any restaurant, and instead of a tip line, it'll say their total, and then instead of a tip line, it'll say donation line. And we hope people are going to give as much as or more than they would for a tip, because all the money's going to go right back into feeding older adults.
So you've been open a few months now.
Just over a month.
Over a month, okay.
Just over a month. I think about 6 weeks, maybe.
I don't feel so guilty then for not going yet. So how's it going? Is it successful?
I think it's successful, yes. And like I say, we're still working out some kinks. We run out of coffee cake all the time, and we're trying to get our production to, you know, when you're making it scratch like that and it's hard to know who's coming in and how many people.
Well, or that people just really like it.
Yeah, they really like it, and so it's hard to keep coffee cake in. And we use Relevant Coffee, and they've been, it's a local roaster here in Vancouver, and that's been great. That keeps people coming back. So I think so far successful. People are donating, both the seniors enrolled in the program as well as those that are enjoying the meal. Like I say, there's some kinks in that we have to, when we get really busy, sometimes the wait gets a little bit too long and we're trying to get that taken care of. So it's a good problem to have, and hopefully we can work it out because we want people to keep coming back because they don't have to wait too long and the food's really good. And so far, I would say the majority of comments, and we are on Yelp and there's comments on there, is we're getting really good ratings. And so we're just working out a few kinks to make sure that continues.
As would be with any restaurant, I would imagine, especially in the first 6 weeks.
Yeah, I think we're doing pretty well, given that we're really busy. So if people want to come in before 11, it might be a little bit easier. You don't have to wait. And again, the breakfast is all day, and then lunch starts at 11, the menu, the lunch menu.
You mentioned Ruby Jewel and Relevant Coffee, so I imagine you try to source locally as much of the food as possible at the diner.
Yes, that's our hope, because we want to involve the local farms and the local providers here. Relevant Coffee, they've been great partners, and as it has Ruby Jewel, and it's hard to make a bad milkshake when you start with Ruby Jewel ice cream. But we're working with various, all of our other products are locally sourced as much as possible, and like duck produce and Columbia meats. So we're trying to do our best by supporting the local community, and so far so good.
Excellent. Well, I personally am looking forward to going to the diner, and what a fantastic concept, and I really appreciate you all thinking of it, and really looking forward to going to support it.
Well, and Vancouver is our first one, so it's the test model. And we'll replicate it if it works and go from there.
Sure. So let's talk about your fundraiser that's coming up, Stride for Seniors. It's going to be at, so I guess, first of all, what is it? What is Stride for Seniors?
Stride for Seniors is a walk. It's at the Portland International Raceway on April 20th, and it's a walk to support Meals on Wheels people, but also to bring awareness to the issues facing older adults in our community, not just nutrition and isolation, but housing and affordability of medications and all of that. Basically, all the issues they face to be able to thrive in our community, be supported, and kind of understand what they're going through. Like we said earlier, if they have to not get their medications because they can't pay their rent or their mortgage, or you know, they're trading heat for food, those kind of things. We really want just to draw awareness to the issues and hopefully create support for them.
So it's at Portland International Raceway. And it's on April the 20th. So how do I sign up for that?
So you can either go to strideforseniors.org. That's the easiest way. Mm-hmm. And you can create your own team and start recruiting other people to join your team, and everybody donate once they get on your team. Mm-hmm. You can go to strideforseniors.org and join somebody else's team. I'm happy to have anybody on my team that wants to join. Suzanne's Cruisers. Or you can go to the Meals on Wheels people website and look under events, and Stride for Seniors will pop right up there. And the hope is really just to get as many people as possible. It's the second year we're doing it. And the first year we had about 1,700 to 2,000 walkers, and we'd really love to double it. There's a kids zone, and there's a free pancake breakfast with eggs and everything. Mm. There's a libation station, so those who need some alcohol to get them up and running every day, or at least that day. It's a big family event. There's folks out there with strollers pushing their kids. There's kids who ran the track rather than walked it. It's less than a 2-mile walk around the track. Mm-hmm. We chose that because for older folks and wheelchairs and walkers, there's no bumps. There's no holes in the grass.
Oh.
Right? They don't have to navigate curbs in the downtown part of the cities. Mm-hmm. So the hope is that we really can create intergenerational camaraderie and awareness. And we did. We had people out with their walkers and their wheelchairs, and we did have some like little golf carts going around to pick up anybody who couldn't quite make it all the way. And we did have a few that were ambitious with their walker and couldn't quite make it. So I would say everybody come on out. There's lots of fun things to do. There's a walker's village where you can get information, and people are doing giveaways and that kind of thing, as well as, like I say, the breakfast. And Kids Zone was great. We partnered with Tufel Farms last year, and I think we're doing it again, where you get to plant kids get to plant a plant, and I think it was a vegetable, and get to take them home with them.
Let's talk a little bit about your volunteers. I know that's the backbone of your organization, is the volunteer effort that happens within your organization. How many volunteers do you currently have?
We have thousands of volunteers. I think we have about 6,500 each year.
Wow.
And we use about 450 volunteers each day to get the meal out the door and to the people who need it.
That is phenomenal. So I would imagine there's always a need for volunteers. Do you have a number in mind that you're looking for now? Are you trying to recruit?
We always need more volunteers. We need drivers, first and foremost, more drivers who can deliver the meal. We're always about 25% short on the drivers we need. Mm-hmm. So we're always scrambling to make sure all our routes are filled every day. Dishwashers is another big one at our dining centers. If people have some time and can come in and run the dishes through the machine, that'd be awesome. And servers as well. We also use volunteers in our main facility in Southwest Portland where we're cooking the food. So people can actually help be on the line and package the food and put it in the trays and help get it ready to send out. So I would say just anybody, if they has an interest, we love to have them. We have folks who bring their kids and they deliver with their kids, which we love because we're setting up that next generation to be supportive and be volunteering as well. Mm-hmm. And like I said, a lot of older folks do deliver, but as they age out, we need those millennials and Gen Xs to come in and help support as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I'm sitting here at home listening to our conversation today, and I'm inspired to volunteer. Where do I go to get started?
So the easiest thing is to go to mealsonwheelspeople.org to our website and hit the volunteer button, and it's going to take you through what you need to do. Everybody has to have a background check, so it'll facilitate that right there online. You can do all your application online and get the process started. We do orientation in our centers. So if you're, like I say, if you live out in Gresham or work out there and you want to do it on your lunch hour, that's a perfect place. You can get an orientation right at the site that you're closest to. So, and that'll all be online where you can see it. You could also call our main number and ask to talk to Katie Ellis, who's our volunteer coordinator, and she can help people with the process. And if they don't want to do it online, she can help them do it through paper.
Fantastic. So mealsonwheelspeople.org. And so for the Stride for Seniors, click on the events tab, and for volunteering, click on volunteers.
Yep.
There's also strideforseniors.org
also,
and then the magical number. So if I'm a senior, I imagine this number works for everybody.
I actually am going to give just one number that works for everybody.
Great.
and hopefully it gets answered. We get really busy at times, and sometimes you might get a voicemail, but hang in there with it if you don't get a person. And that number is 503-736-6325.
Excellent. Excellent. Suzanne, is there anything that I didn't ask that you wish I would have asked?
No, I think you covered it. I would just like to emphasize we really would love support for Stride for Seniors. That's our big fundraising event coming up.
April 20th.
April 20th.
At the Portland International Raceway.
Right, and you can show up that day, or even if you don't register ahead, show up that day. You can be a virtual walker and donate, even if you can't come that day. So you can still go on strideforseniors.org.
Oh, good.
Sign up as a virtual walker, make your donation, and that way you support the effort without having to be there that day. But we'd love to have you, your family, your friends come out and join in the fun. Mm-hmm. Makes for a big event and a lot more fun for everybody. And then I'd say the one last thing we didn't talk about was PDX Pop. So we make, Meals on Wheels people makes a PDX popcorn, and that's what it's called, PDX Pop. We can get it in various stores as well as just order it online right from our website. So buy some PDX Pop, and all that support also goes right back into feeding older people.
Excellent. I love popcorn too. If you can't tell, I like food. I like food. Suzanne Washington, Chief Executive Officer for Meals on Wheels People for Multnomah, Washington, and Clark County. That's a large swath of area. Suzanne, thanks so much for being on the show today to tell us all about Meals on Wheels People, the diner, the Stride for Seniors, PDX Pop, volunteering, all of those good things. And most importantly, thank you for all that you're doing to make our community a better place to live.
Thank you. It's been great being here.
Thank you.
Community radio like this is brought to you by the generous support by our founding sponsors at ADCO Commercial Printing and Graphics, Clark County's local print shop since 1993. ADCO features stationery, posters, flyers, tickets, business cards, stickers, catalogs, and much more. Print on anything and mail anywhere. Learn more at ADCO1.com. That's ADCO, the number 1.com.
Many thanks to our friends at Sei Chow Catering, Columbia River Tap Room and Eatery. Chef Peter has been cooking for over 20 years in the Vancouver area. Private events including wine tasting, wine dinners, appetizer parties, and cooking demos. Sei Chow Tap Room and Eatery boasts space for private events or drop-in for a quick refreshment and live music on Thursday and Friday evenings. Just a stone's throw away from the Columbia River, Sei Chow, Greater Vancouver's premier catering company. Conveniently located at 2501 Southeast Columbia Way, Suite 270 in Vancouver. More information available at www.say-chow.com. That's www.say-chio.com or directly at 360-210-5522.
My next guest today is Charles Humble. Charles is Partnership and Communication Specialist with Tax Aid of Washington State. Welcome, Charles.
Thank you, Joe. Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you, too. So we met several months back. You came to me and you were like, hey, I want to talk to everybody about this really cool program that not a lot of folks know about called Tax Aid. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, tell us what it's about.
Well, it's a program that was started this is actually our 50th year nationally, and it was started by AARP through its charitable foundation called the AARP Foundation. And they started this program back at that time initially to help seniors. Mm-hmm. Now, the program is we offer services to AARP members but also non-members, so mm-hmm. people don't have to be a member. They don't have to be a member to be a volunteer either. And the organization has just grown tremendously over that time, and it now branches beyond seniors. So we help anybody who needs help to get their taxes done, and we do the taxes, and we file them for them. We're there to help them. The only limits we really have on the services we can provide are the complication of the return. Obviously, somebody who has an enormously complex business or things like that, they just don't really qualify. So there are lots of things that are out of scope. But I would say we cover probably 85-90% of individuals who have normal individual tax returns.
Yeah.
And that's been, it's been a growing business to the point that last year there were 35,000 volunteers nationally, and we served more than 2.5 million taxpayers and helped them receive over $1 billion in refunds. In just locally here, we have about 60 volunteers who come together, not just during tax season, but actually year-round. We're working really hard now to recruit volunteers who want to participate and help the program be successful. And then, of course, our really intense time is between February 1st and Tax Day on mm-hmm. April 15th. And last year, we served over 3,000 taxpayers in what's called District 1, and that is Clark and Skamania counties. And we have 7 sites throughout the county, mostly at public libraries.
So the service that you offer, you mentioned doing the taxes for folks. Is it free for them?
It's absolutely free.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really great service because all of our people are trained. They must be certified. That means we have to pass tests, the people who actually do the tax work. And we have volunteers who are not, you know, don't actually prepare tax returns as well. There's mm-hmm. a lot of other stuff involved in, you know, pulling this off. But those people, the people who receive the service, they bring their information in. We do their tax return. We file it for them. We send them away with a copy of their return, and it's absolutely without cost to them.
I remember when we talked last time, that was one of the questions I had for you was, you know, it seems, you know, it's not really all that expensive to have your taxes done, especially if it's 1040 Easy or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you shared with me that there are, you know, some folks that even if it only costs $30, that's still an amount that they could apply to, you know, bills that they have at home or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and it helps people too. You know, there's also options on when they get a return. You know, it's their money and they do with it what they want. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, you know, we can along the way when we're doing the counseling with them, we can help them with their finances and how they ought to think about things. You know, we're strictly there to do their taxes, but mm-hmm. you know, we get lots of people talk to us about things. And I would say that the $30, I would defy you to find anybody who would do your taxes for $30. I don't even think you can buy TurboTax necessarily
yeah.
for $30.
Probably closer to more like $100.
Yeah. And so the some of the larger returns that we actually do are for people who are receiving earned income tax credit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've heard of that, but that's basically money the government gives back to people who are working but are living below the poverty line.
Mm-hmm.
And those kind of returns, and I know because I worked for commercial services before I did this, they can charge $200-$400 to do one of those returns because they are more complicated. They're not that complicated, but they are more complicated. And most professional commercial tax preparation services basically charge by the number of forms you use and
yeah.
how long it takes to do the return.
Yeah.
So, you know, if somebody's going to get a several thousand dollar refund back and they can get $500 tacked onto that because they don't have to pay for the service, I mean, that's tremendous to them.
Sure.
And it has a tremendous benefit to the community to have these people be whole and get that money back that they really need to live on.
Yeah. So how does it work? If I'm interested in having my taxes done by tax aid, how do I get started?
Well, there's kind of two sides to this in terms of getting involved. You can get involved as a customer. You can get involved as a volunteer. But as a customer, we open our offices. Now, we haven't totally decided which day we're going to open, but we open late January, early February, no later than February 1st. And we have 7 locations throughout the county and in Stevenson.
Hmm.
So, and then we do some temporary things, too. We go to Clark College for a few days hmm. during the season.
Mm-hmm.
So, and so we're not open every day, you know, 9 to 5 every day. So there are different places that are open different days, but there always are places open on the weekends and probably on the day that you can go there. And we're open as late as 6 o'clock and as early as, like, 10 in the morning. But we have to work around the people that host us in the libraries.
Yeah.
And I worked at the Central Library, and that's our biggest location, actually, just down the street here in Vancouver. So you would come, you would bring your material in. You would check in at the front desk, and we have a receptionist there. And then you would be met by somebody we call a client facilitator. And everybody, before they can, we can do their taxes, they need to go through a form so that they can provide the basic information we need. And then when we sit down to do their taxes, you know, we can get through it reasonably quickly. So that saves the tax preparers a lot of time by having them fill out this form.
Yeah.
And lots of times they need help doing that.
Right.
Because they don't know what some of the things are. What,
sure.
You know, what's meant by...
There's a lot of things I don't know about on the
filing
form.
Status even. You know, well, I have two kids, but one of them lives with my ex-wife. And,
yeah.
You know, a lot of that stuff becomes really complicated. And we help them with that so that when they sit down, they're ready to go.
Yeah.
And we can usually, on a simple return, we can get through it in... a half hour. A more complicated return can take a lot longer.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the things that's unique about our service is that all of our returns are double-checked by a more experienced person. So everything is quality reviewed, and that isn't always the case.
Mm-hmm.
So I think not only do we provide a vital service, but we provide a very, very good service too.
Yeah.
I'm here with Charles Humble, Partnership and Communication Specialist with TaxAid of Washington State. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. You're listening to The Common Good.
KXRW Community Radio wants to thank our friends and sponsors at Boomerang Therapy Works, where exercise is medicine. At Boomerang, they offer a variety of one-on-one treatment options that can be tailored to your health and wellness. They offer physical therapy, massage therapy, personal trainers, exercise programs, group classes, and specialize in customized Parkinson's treatments. Located downtown Vancouver, more info available at boomerangtherapyworks.com. Where exercise is medicine. Many thanks to NuVamsterdam for supporting our radio community. NuVamsterdam is the premier cannabis market in the Vancouver-Portland metro area. They carry a variety of cannabis products, ranging from pre-rolls, vape cartridges, and edibles to CBD cream, oils, and tinctures. NuVamsterdam is located in the Heights Shopping Center on the corner of Mill Plain and Andreessen Boulevard. Open 8 a.m. to 11 p.m., 365 days a year. More information available at NuVamsterdam.com. That's NuVamsterdam.com.
Welcome back to The Common Good. I'm your host, Joe Clemens. I'm here with Charles Humble, Partnership and Communication Specialist with TaxAid of Washington State. Welcome back, Charles. Before the break,
you.
we were going to talk about the IRS.
The IRS.
So what's the relationship between TaxAid and the IRS?
Well, we have a very tight relationship with the IRS because we do sort of work for them in a way. I mean, we help them collect taxes. Or at least we help them. We help people file their returns, which isn't always collecting taxes because most of the people we do returns for get money back. But the IRS, you know, I mean, as opposed to what people sort of, you know, the opinion people have of them, they want people to if they have money coming back, they want them to get that money,
mm-hmm.
and they like them to understand the system too, and they know that our service helps a whole lot of people that. Well, they might not file, or they might push it off, or they might not, you know, it just helps more people be accountable for what everybody's obligation is as a citizen of the United States.
The state of Washington, we're very fortunate that we don't have state income tax.
Mm-hmm.
However, our neighbors to the south do have a pretty hefty one.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys help folks do their state
returns?
Oh,
yeah. We do in Vancouver, we do a ton of mm-hmm. Oregon tax returns. As you know, there's 70,000 people that work mm-hmm. in Oregon and live in Vancouver. So, and that applies all along the border with Oregon and Washington. And then we also do Idaho returns over on the other side of the state. So, yes, and there again, that's just more savings for people. And that's we have the software to do that. And we're trained on the Oregon returns, and we have people in all the offices that really understand that and how to deal with the kicker when they have that. So it's part of what we do.
Another question I had for you was July, you went to Kansas City for Tax Aid Conference. Mm-hmm. How was that?
Well, it was great for me because I'm just new in my position on the state management team. And it was a real eye-opener for me to be able to meet other people from all over the country in different disciplines. A lot of tech people were there, too. We have a huge technology aspect to the volunteer part of mm-hmm. what we do, because you can imagine with we do everything on computers and servers and wireless and all those kinds of things and internet. And in fact, if the internet goes down, we go down, you know, when we're doing taxes. So it was a great experience. Learned a lot. You know, I'm a little feeling a little less in the dark now for what I'm supposed to be doing in terms of helping people around the state with their communications and their partnerships and how to get that information out to them. So, yeah, it was mostly training.
But, did you get some good barbecue?
Unfortunately, we were pretty much ensconced in a hotel out by the airport, and it was kind of hard to get away. But I will say that the hotel knocked themselves out with some pretty great food, and we did have barbecue one night.
Wonderful.
Yeah, we did
Wonderful.
Have barbecue.
Well, at least you got to have some. So why do you do this?
Well, I retired 4 years ago, and I didn't feel like I was completely out to pasture, but I didn't really want a job that I had to report and keep doing that sort of thing and on a regular basis. I didn't want to be pinned down. So I actually was looking around for something to do, and a friend of a friend said that he was doing this gig with H&R Block. And they are a, good reputation company, mm-hmm. and I like to work with numbers. And so I said, you know, I'm just going to take the class just so I can see what this is all about, and it'll be fun because, you know, you got to keep learning.
Yeah.
And so I took the 6-week class, which was very intense, but very fun. It was, believe it or not, it was a whole lot of fun, solving lots of problems, tons of homework, man. And paid for the class myself because that's how it works. And I passed the test, and I worked for Block for 1 year. And it just really wasn't my cup of tea because I was kind of in it for the people element and helping people and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, there's a lot of people that work there, and it's to them, it's like it's a big chunk of their income. So they have a lot of, you know, people who just work during tax season. And I just didn't work great for me. So I was, you know, at home. I picked up the Columbian one day, and I saw that this thing called Tax Aid was looking for volunteers. And I had no idea what it was, never heard of it. And I said, well, you know, I probably could do this. I already have. I was just trained last year. Mm-hmm. You know, things change every year. So I went to the website, signed up. They got a hold of me, went through the training, loved it. Yeah, it was just a different atmosphere, a lot more collegial, working with a lot of people my age. But our focus is on helping people as opposed to meeting some kind of revenue goals mm-hmm. or something, because mm-hmm. we don't have those. So, and there's just, you know, there's a lot of people that can use this service that it just works for them. And, it, you know, there's takes all kinds of organizations to help people out. And I learned that the organization is pretty substantial in mm-hmm. terms of its infrastructure, and it's well financed, and that always makes it fun. If you're mm-hmm. you're gonna do something and volunteer your time, it's nice to know you're working for a quality outfit.
Yeah.
And I think Tax Aid and the AARP connection on it is top notch. Mm-hmm. And then I was asked to help out locally with communications, and I did that. And a year later, the person that was in charge here locally became the state director, and she said, well, hey, do you want to help us out too? And so I said, well, I guess I can do that as long as I can learn the ropes. And so here I am.
So if folks want to volunteer, how do they sign up?
Well, it's pretty simple. They can go to a website. And I will tell you what that is, and then I'll spell it out so everybody knows what it is. The website is aarpfoundation.org/taxaid, and that's tax aid with no hyphens. So that's aarpfoundation, all one word, .org/taxaid, TAXAIDE.
Mm-hmm.
Go there, and that's the volunteer page, and about middle of that page is very simple, very simply laid out. It says volunteer, and you click on it, and it'll ask you for your information, and somebody will contact you.
Charles Humble, Partnership and Communication Specialist with TaxAid of Washington State. Charles, I really appreciate you being on the program today to tell us all about TaxAid.
Thank you, Joe.
'Cause I'm the tax man.
That's all the time we have for today. I want to thank my guest, Suzanne Washington with Meals on Wheels People, to tell us more about her organization, as well as the new diner that's opened up in Vancouver. I also want to thank again Charles Humble with TaxAid, AARP Foundation's organization, to help us with our taxes. To see and hear more about today's guests and their programs and what's going on in the community, join the conversation on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at KXRW Vancouver. Programming like this is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. Donations are as easy as visiting us on the web at www.kxrwvancouver.org, and there you'll see the big donate button. For all of the volunteers and supporters who make community radio possible, this is Joe Clemens, and I want to thank you for listening, and we look forward to seeing you again right here on The Common Good.
KXRW Community Radio wants to thank our friends and sponsors at Boomerang Therapy Works, where exercise is medicine. At Boomerang, they offer a variety of one-on-one treatment options that can be tailored to your health and wellness. They offer physical therapy, massage therapy, personal trainers, exercise programs, group classes, and specialize in customized Parkinson's treatments. Located in downtown Vancouver. More info available at boomerangtherapyworks.com, where exercise is medicine.